Well, this reading can be a little confronting, and it's especially comfortable when we're in stark contrast having a nice baptism of a beautiful young child. However, it tells a story of how Jesus met a man who was troubled by many evil spirits. The man lived in a graveyard, far away from other people. He wore no clothes, and his life was full of suffering. His own community feared him and had tried to keep him tied up with chains. Nothing could control him. He was alone. He was hurt, and he was without hope. Now today, we might call this affliction something else, given how much psychoanalysis has progressed. And we understand so much more. But to these people, it was labelled as demon possession. And it might have been, but we don't know because we weren't there. However, all the demons that Jesus confronts have three things in common. They cause self-destructive behaviour in the victim. The victim feels trapped in that condition. And they separate the person from normal living within the family circle. Our own demons can be many kinds. Mental illnesses, schizophrenia, paranoia, addictions, obsessions, destructive habits, and so on. But we can put this argument aside because that's not actually the point of the story. What we know is this. Jesus didn't turn away from the man. Even though he was filled with darkness, Jesus, full of compassion, asked his name. He then commanded the evil spirits to leave, sent them into a herd of pigs which ran into the lake and drowned. Now, just the fact that these people kept pigs, I think one can reasonably assume, is that they were Gentiles and they're in Gentile country, unfamiliar with even normal Jewish practices, let alone the spectacle that just happened in front of them. They saw the whole show. With the result, with the upshot, their income just drowned in a lake. I think most farmers would be horrified at that. They asked Jesus to leave. And I would speculate, my speculation, is that Jesus would have weighed up a couple of factors. First of all, well, my message is meant for the Jewish people first. And two, he was pretty much on the back foot with the people who were there anyway. So I think he saw the wisdom of moving on, but that's my speculation. But then we have the man in question. Note that he was sitting at Jesus' feet. He was finally free. He was calm. He was clothed. His life had just changed entirely. And while he wanted to go with Jesus, begged actually, and normally Jesus would have said, come with me. But in this instance, he actually sent the man back. Why? Jesus told him to tell everyone what God had done for him. And this would have been true. But also, maybe it helped the man to face his own past, to see the damage done and help repair it and restore his place in his family. Also, with the man's testimony, there would be no greater witness when the word spread later on about Jesus. The man obeyed, telling everyone in the town about the amazing things that Jesus did. The story shows us that Jesus has power over all things, even the darkest forces. And no matter how hopeless or broken someone might feel, Jesus can bring healing and peace. Jesus cared for the man that everyone else had given up on, which, by the way, kind of works for us too. God loves each of us, even in our most difficult moments. Doesn't turn away, and his mercy always greater than our problems. Just as Jesus freed the man from the evil spirits, he can free us from anything that holds us back. Sin, fear, struggles. When we trust him, he brings light into our lives and helps us start again. Real human freedom is a gift, and our response is expressed in our discipleship. Sitting at the feet of someone is a clear expression of being a disciple. The healed man's story reminds us to share what God has done with us, done for us with others. Telling others about him and his love and power can bring hope to their lives too. And in the Galatians reading, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, we're all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and all heirs according to the promise. That was Galatians. So that means we're free range followers. We're no longer in a cage. We were held captive under the cage of the law. Now the law was designed to serve as a protector and guide. It was never meant to be a restrictive cage. But through Jesus, we are set free and made children of God by faith. We don't have to earn salvation by obeying a set of rules. It's just given. Our gratitude and the Holy Spirit's help works in our consciences to understand his will and his pleasure. And this means no matter our past, no matter our struggles, no matter what our differences are, whether we feel as broken as the man in Luke 8 or as distant from God, we are still one in Christ and heirs to his promise. His love brings us together as a family in him. Our freedom is expressed in our discipleship and will serve as a powerful example to little ones like Rowena. Let this truth inspire us to walk in faith and to share his goodness with others.